So I started writing songs for speakers to walk on stage to their own song. And then when they'd have their sizzle reel, people would hear their song again. And if they went to a training, or, you know, they would hear the song again. And so there was this audio consistency that also had the effect of lifting the person, the speaker themselves. They would say to me, you know, when I walk on stage to my own song, it's like, I don't show up small. This is who I have to be to walk on stage to, like, mind switch, I'm ready to fly, right?
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they are making their brand. People are walking out of there with their song stuck in their head, not a Katy Perry song.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with Lauri Olafsson. My next guest is a professional songwriter who has toured the globe, released 9 albums, and led over 600 songwriting sessions with more than 15,000 speakers, entrepreneurs, and businesses. He helps his clients make a bigger dent in the universe by creating their own signature song to build trust, authority, and connection with their audiences, and make their message literally unforgettable. His name is Lauri Olafsson, and he's created something called a song brand. We'll talk about how businesses and individuals can use a song brand and how his background led to this unique form of songwriting that allows his clients to communicate their truth with the world. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available and what the newest audio chats will be about. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. And now, here's my conversation with Lauri Olafsson. Thanks so much for joining me, Lauri. I appreciate it. And a little bit of a snafu this morning, but that's okay.
Yes, often the case.
Technology is wonderful when it works.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I'm glad that you're here and that you made it. And I'd like to get right into things because I know we have a lot to talk about. But the first thing that I want to ask you is if you have an early memory of how sound moved you.
Well, my earliest memory of making my own music was as maybe a 3-year-old on the prairies and listening to the meadowlarks and trying to imitate them, whistling, trying to imitate them.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was, my dad whistled all the time too. So probably, that is what triggered that idea. But yeah.
I love that. Actually, my dad did that a lot too, the whistling. Yeah. We had a lot of birds in our backyard growing up that I remember that. You just triggered that memory in me too.
Sweet.
Yeah. I think that's how my dad, I have a little sister, that's how my dad would corral my sister and I. He'd whistle in environments where there was a crowd or something like that. We always knew where, nice. Where our dad was.
Huh. That's kind of sweet.
Yeah, it worked.
Yeah. Well, it's had a lasting effect. You're still in music.
Yes, definitely. And I want to ask you about that too, because how did you get into music from imitating skylarks?
Well, my mom was a piano teacher and, player, and my dad played sax. He wasn't a professional musician, but we all grew up taking piano lessons, and I switched to violin when I was 9 but we had, always sing songs around the piano. It was, I'm older than you are, I think, Jody. So we didn't get a TV till I was 8.
Oh, okay.
And so it was radio and the record player kind of thing, but making a lot of our own music. And, I just, I love music. I think we all just sang. It was just natural, but I like performing. And I got into musicals and that kind of stuff when I was pretty young. being in the chorus line, you know, chorus mm-hmm. boys in Carmen and stuff like that. And then, but then I started, one of my cousins taught me how to play guitar. And, you know, it's like, well, three chords and you can play anything. And so
pretty
I
much.
Was, yeah. So I was really, you know, I was playing Down in the Valley and that kind of country-ish stuff. And then when the Beatles hit and that kind of stuff, that was, you know, I was just really into writing songs. So I started writing songs probably when I was about 11, maybe. And I loved the process. I loved the adulation. You know, it didn't really seem to matter that the songs weren't necessarily that good. People clapped, and I did a couple of talent contests and made a little money, even, you know, stuff like that. So it was, yeah, there was plenty of incentive.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But nice mostly, I just loved it. You know.
Oh yeah. So what about it do you love in particular? I mean, you seem to love the performance aspect of it. So like the clapping when you're doing a performance, like the energy from the audience.
Yeah.
But is there anything else about it that really appeals to you?
Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's, you know, and seriously, it's not really the clapping. It's more the connection, mm-hmm. you know, and it's more that, you know, you can create, you can express yourself in your truest form, who you are. And I've always done that. Even, you know, my first albums, the kind of songs that I wrote way back, they were just on my own terms. And I wasn't, you know, people would say, oh, you should write country music, you know, that's where the money is. And it's like, well, I'm not doing that. Mm. You know, it was always for me. I think I found out in high school that my friends would really resonate with the songs that I was writing, even though, you know, they were at whatever level they were at, but they were just these really kind of honest songs. And that's around the time that Joni Mitchell started coming out. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. my heroes were Gordon Lightfoot and Joni Mitchell and Bruce Cockburn and all the Canadians, you know, that, and Gordon Lightfoot, of course, he's like writing the hooks, right? These catchy hooks. And that's what I really go for, is like, how do you make something super catchy and super memorable so it sticks in people's heads? That's my goal.
Is that if, makes, you know, a lot of sense.
Yeah. If you got something of value to say, then how do you make it stick? You know, how is it going to be super sticky?
And, a great point. Yeah.
Hi. My name is Cornelius Ringen. I'm the founder of the International Sound Awards and the CEO of the sound agency WeSound in Berlin and Hamburg. Today, I want to celebrate my dear colleague and friend, Jody. She's one of the far too few women to give our industry a voice, not only as a highly professional speaker, but especially by her audio branding podcast. My partner Lars and I also had the pleasure of being interviewed by Jody in the episodes 62 and 63. So thank you, Jody, for spreading the word. You're such a great woman, and I'm looking forward to the next episode of the Audio Branding Podcast. Cheers.
You've created something called Songbrand. Can you talk a little about what that is and why you created it?
Well, it's Songbrands are like a little jingle, really, for lack of a better word. The idea is that if you're a coach or a speaker, what I was seeing a lot with speakers was that they were walking on stage to like some, you know, hit, Katy Perry hit or something, and then they'd use it. And coaches, a lot of coaches speak, and then these people, they were all using music, but it was just a mishmash, and they were not using it strategically. And the more that I learned about audio branding, the more I realized that that people really, one, need to be educated about the value of this stuff, because they really just blow it off. They think, oh, well, you know, it's just music. And so many times people say to me, well, you know, we're not going to spend any money on the song because we spend it all on the video. Well, you know, but the video has a lifespan of what, you know, 2 years, 3 years, mm-hmm. whereas these melodic ideas, you know, how old is that idea?
Yeah.
Or the theme from Jaws that creates this feeling. So those are the musical aspects of that. But when you tie that into a lyric, it just makes the lyric if it's a tagline, it makes it just literally unforgettable. It makes it really relatable, makes you relatable. It lifts people up. So I started writing songs for speakers to walk on stage to their own song. And then when they'd have their sizzle reel, people would hear their song again. And if they went to a training, or, you know, they would hear the song again. And so there was this audio consistency that also had the effect of lifting the person, the speaker themselves. They would say to me, you know, when I walk on stage to my own song, it's like, I don't show up small. This is who I have to be to walk on stage to, like, mind switch, I'm ready to fly, right?
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they are making their brand. People are walking out of there with their song stuck in their head, not a Katy Perry song.
Yeah. That makes a lot more sense. Definitely. You know, yeah. Having your own brand out there in audio certainly makes a lot of sense. And as you say, it's really memorable. I mean, how many of us remember the jingles from 30 years ago?
Well, I mean, even ba-da-ba-ba-da.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
The McDonald's, like 23 years on that one.
Yeah.
And what did they spend? $6 million or something on, you know, on that, and they remixed it like 213 times. I mean, it's unbelievable. The people that know the value of this stuff, you know, they don't mess around. But I noticed a TD Bank commercial a couple of days ago that now has a jingle. It's like, okay,
TD Bank.
You know,
they worked with a Cesium song.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I had to know this.
Well, I had Valentin Fleur on the podcast not too long ago, and he's the one who worked on that with them.
Sweet.
So, Yeah. Interac has some stuff going on too, which is really interesting. It's nice talking to a fellow Canadian because then we kind of recognize the same brands.
Exactly. But you know, what seems to me is that what's interesting to me is that it used to be that the only people that could afford to do this were the big people that, you know, had big advertising budgets and TV and radio and stuff. But the fact is, you know, your average coach is using music in all kinds of ways. They're doing, you know, they're doing reels, they're doing trainings, they've got a Zoom waiting room, you know, they have all kinds of, they've got a phone that can ring, you know, a realtor is doing, they're doing home video tours, and they're using some cheesy music.
Yeah.
Or even if they use good music, they're still missing an opportunity to become more relatable, to make, you know, to put across some tagline that says, that talks about their values and who they are and builds trust. You know, so to me, like, these are easy things that all of us can do now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you worked with a real estate agent, right? Didn't you?
You know what? I haven't yet, but I want to.
Oh, you haven't yet?
No,
okay.
I haven't. I worked with a Medicare, a woman who came out of the blue to me. She sells Medicare insurance, and her song is called Make Medicare Simple, because her people come to her and they're just, and she's American, they're just overwhelmed because the deal in the States is if you don't, when you turn 65, you got 9 months to get your application in. If you get it wrong, they deduct 10% of your income for the rest of your life.
Oh, wow.
So it's high stakes. People come in, they're stressed, and it's very confusing. And so when we were writing her song, I said, well, you know, what do you do? And she's, well, I just make it simple. And I said, well, I think that's our tagline.
That's perfect right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's super fun because when I write the song, we produce it. It's her song is about, I don't know, 15 seconds long.
Sure.
And it kind of covers the basis in terms of building, sort of answering people's questions about her. But ultimately, it just creates this kind of, it's got a Jimmy Buffett vibe.
Yeah.
You know, make, put your mind at ease. That's the last line. And so, you know, when people hear this, they feel better already. They have, there's pictures of her working with clients. It's, you know, and she sends it as a musical business card. When people make an inquiry, she just texts it to them. So there's they don't have to go to a website. They don't have to do anything. It's instant. And she said, people just, they sing it back to her. Make Medicare simple. Make sure you've got the facts. Make sure you've got Newton. Newton's got your back. Make sure that you're covered.
She'll help you get what you need. Make Medicare simple and put your mind at ease. Make Medicare simple, put your mind at ease.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Quick question. Do you know anyone else who could benefit from hearing more about how powerful sound can be? If so, would you mind sharing this podcast with them? It would mean so much to me. Now, I'll stop interrupting and let you get back to the show.
I know that you've worked with a whole bunch of different people doing song brands. How do you work with someone when you're starting with a new client, let's say?
Well, I send them a lot of questions. My goal is to really, we co-write the song. I can't write the song without them because they know what words they would use. They have to really take ownership of the song.
Sure.
And so, I get them to send me like any taglines they've ever considered, any words or phrases that they think should be in the song. If it's a coach or a speaker or anyone, actually, I get them to send a note out to their clients and people that say, you know, I'm working with a professional songwriter. I'm going to write my signature song. What do you remember? What did you learn from me? What stood out? What has impacted you? What, you know, what's that value? Because ultimately, I want to create a song that is of value to their clients as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like yesterday, I wrote one with a coach who she's moving from leadership coaching into retirement, coaching retirement people. And she had some key strategies, some things that she wants people to do. And the song is called Light the Fire Within. And it has these lines like hold yourself lightly, you know, which is like, you know, don't take things too seriously or be kind to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Certain lines in there that are of service to people. And so when she sent me like probably 25 pages of different things that she'd done and stuff so that I could really get a sense of who she is. And the way I have been working a lot lately is based on that. And then I asked them who they wanted to sound like. So in this case, she was kind of, she really resonated with Carrie Underwood.
Okay.
Who's, you know, kind of a little bit country, but upbeat, strong woman, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. And so so I actually ended up writing, or I usually come to the session with something written. So I've got, you know, four lines or eight lines and a melody and a whole, that whole thing, which I present to them. And there's no obligation for them to say that they like it. But they often do. And then at the very least, it's a starting point. So they can come in and say, well, you know, I like this, but I don't know about this word here. And so then together, we start to nuance it and change a word here and there and do things like that until we really feel like we've nailed it and they love it and I love it too. And then we sit on it for a week and we come back and if we need more time, then, you know, then we'll write on it. We don't do production until the songs, we love the song.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of the process. And then once it's, then we have it produced and I have a team of different producers that I work with according to the genre and the singers, you know, we have a bunch of different singers that we'll use according to, you know, what the result, what we think the audience will relate to, what they like, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I make video with photos and whatever, you know, video footage they might have. We have a song launch party on Zoom and invite their friends and stuff.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, and then the last thing is that we have a strategy meeting and talk about how we're going to implement it and stuff because I want to make sure these songs get used and that they're, you know, always thinking of new, people are always finding new ways to use their song. It's fabulous.
What are some of the most creative ways that you've seen people use these?
Well, one of the fun ones is just having it as a ringtone on your phone, you know, because that's a great conversation starter, right?
Oh, yeah.
But I had somebody who was doing meditation like as a relaxation. It's like, well, we could incorporate, you know, the melody of this and part like that into your meditation tape. And so,
such a great idea.
You know, it brings people back if they've done, and like sometimes people are using these in their trainings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at a live event or a virtual event, they play the song. And if there's a key, you know, if there's a key phrase, if their tagline is something that's a reminder of a key part of their teaching, like, you know, light the fire within, or, you know, live the life you love, or mm-hmm. whatever, any of those kinds of things, they'll get people to sing them back to them. And people don't want to sing, but they'll sing like five words.
Yeah.
Right. And what happens then is there's this change in the chemistry, literally. You know this, I'm sure, the brain chemistry of people, oxytocin, you know, we're flooded with this. All of a sudden, people feel more connected to each other. They feel better, mm-hmm. right? And so all of these things are just, there are all kinds of different ways. But so many of my clients say, oh, you know, and my clients sing it back to me. They sing my song back to me.
Because they feel connected.
They do.
That's good.
It means, yeah, they love them. It speaks to them. And like, to me, that's the ultimate compliment.
Are you looking for ways to improve your company's or podcast's impact? You'd be surprised how powerful the use of an intentional audio branding strategy can be. Want to know more? I have a free downloadable PDF that gives you my 5 tips for implementing an intentional audio strategy at voiceoversandvocals.com/audio-branding-strategy. That location does ask to put you on a mailing list, just to send you updates on when the new podcasts come out. But if you really don't want to give your email out, I understand. Just contact me directly. My email is all over my website, and I'll make sure you get that PDF without needing to sign up anywhere. If you do sign up, though, you also get access to a resources section called The Studio, where I have videos, white papers and PDFs, discounts from my guests, and snippets of audio from my guests that no one else gets to hear. So maybe it's worth your while. Totally up to you. And of course, if you're looking for voiceovers, you can get in touch with me about that, too. Now, back to the podcast.
So are there any other song brands that you've done that you're particularly proud of?
Well, you know, I mean, I love them all, really.
They're all, it's like asking you for a favorite child, I know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I like it when they're getting used in lots of different ways. Mm-hmm. I really like it when they inspire the person themselves to be, so it's like a personal power song.
Sure.
There's one I wrote for a guy recently called Bring Your A Game, you know.
Okay.
So again, you know, the metaphor, a baseball metaphor, but for him, it was particularly meaningful because he used to be a baseball player and he'd kind of lost sight of that part of his life and forgotten about it. And ironically, when we sent out the note to, his past clients and stuff, and it's like, what do you remember that, you know, Jim said? It's like, bring your A game. And I'm saying, like, well, that's pretty cool. Bring your A game.
Yeah.
And so that was what I ended up writing. And then I said, you know, do you relate to this? And he's like, oh, yeah. I said, like, I used to be a ball player. This was who I was.
Step up to the plate. Show us what you got. Bring your A game. Your A game, keep your eye on the ball, get it out of the park. Bring your A game, bring your A game every time. Every time.
Yeah. So his video is even going to have pictures of him as a kid, you know, standing at bat. And so, you know, for me, I think with music generally, what I love is when it can lift people and it can connect people to their essence and, you know, that kind of stuff. So that's, even with my own songs, when I play a concert or something like that, I'm trying to make people feel things. I want to lift them and inspire them and do that. And I think, we can do that even in branding, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. I mean, you're kind of, well, definitely you're preaching to the choir here.
Yes.
I mean, you know that.
Yeah.
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.